your finances on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Welcome back, fellow traders. This is Paula T. Webb of the Institute of Trading Psychology, coming to you weekly on 1610 WBGS. It's a great place to be. It is Sunday, February 23rd, 2025. Gosh, I can't believe we're almost at the end of the second month of the new year. This year is flying by. Okay, so we have a little, announcements. Guys, I think I've mentioned it before, but I am not on Skype 24/7. So if you're attempting to reach me through Skype, that's not going to happen. Okay. So, you know, please don't leave me messages on Skype, because I'm on Skype once a week when I do my show. Otherwise, I am not tuned into Skype. I do not live on my computer. I mean, I'm trading, I'm coaching, I'm working on new books. So I'm not, you know, on all these apps waiting to get dinged by someone asking a question. So if you have a question, just please go to the website, paulatweb.com, and fill out the contact form, and that way I will receive it, and then I can answer it. Okay? The other thing is, for those of you that have been asking, I do not text or talk on WhatsApp. Now, I understand some of you are out of the country. That's why Skype and Zoom were invented. I do not do anything on my cell phone. That is my private number. I do not get texts from clients unless we are under contract. So that's a whole different ball game. If you want to sign up for one of my unlimited packages, or a specific package that's tailored to your needs, where you need to reach me at any given moment, again, then yes, you will have access to my cell number. Otherwise, no, it's not open to the general public. So again, just use my office phone, 760-636-4290. It is a landline. It does not accept texts, but you can leave a message and I will call you back. Okay. All right. So, we've had a couple guys contact us recently, and I'm just going to kind of go over this again. I know we went over this a couple weeks ago, but apparently a lot of traders just don't understand crypto. Okay. A lot of you do. A lot of you have made some good money on it, and that's great. God bless you for being able to do that. But a lot of you haven't. And the challenge is that, you know, there's in my next book coming out, The Sacred Path of the Warrior Trader, you will find that there are countless crypto failures just in the last, well, let's say 5 or 7 years. And of course, I always talk about FTX because that's the biggest, well, one of the biggest ones so far. And that was one of the ones that seemed the most legit at the time. So again, here's some things to keep in mind. If you can't find any information on a crypto platform website, how to make deposits, you know, how to withdraw your money and put it into a financial institution, meaning a bank. If you can't find out what the fees are for any type of transactions, if you can't find out how long it's going to take for a withdrawal to happen, if you can't find out how to close your account, then don't use that platform. Okay? Now, I said this a couple weeks ago, and you can go to any trading platform. you know, with the TradeStation or Schwab, you know, Thinkorswim, whatever, you know, that's out there. Those are just the couple that I can think off the top of my head, because those are the ones that Mark and I have used. And you don't even have to have an account. You can literally go to their website and you can have a list of questions of things you want to research. And all that information that I just stated about looking for is clearly defined on their website before you even open an account, before you give them one dime. So if trading platforms can do that, then clearly any crypto platforms can do that if they so choose. Now, again, here's the difference. Crypto platforms are not regulated like trading platforms. There's no legal ramifications for them to provide you with anything. Now, obviously, trading cryptos can be a high-risk investment. We all know that. And that's kind of the seduction part of it. It's like, oh man, I could make a killing real quick. And you can. And I know a lot of traders who have. That's great. As long as you take, I'm going to say it again, 50% of that profit out and put it in a real financial institution, such as a bank. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because a couple traders have contacted me in the last couple of weeks, and they thought their crypto platform was okay because they were using an app through their Apple Wallet. Well, I don't know. I guess there's some problems now with the Apple Wallet, and the traders that contacted me can't access their crypto account at all. So my point being is, do your research. Please do your research before you put any money into a crypto account. Or if you're going to put money into a crypto account, make sure it's disposable income, meaning that if it's gone, it's gone. That's it. And please take 50% of your profit out once a week, every 2 weeks, the minimum once a month, for heaven's sakes, because they aren't regulated and we never know where that market, that crypto platform market, is going to open up the next day, the next week, and certainly the next month. This is money management, guys. Prudent money management. That's all this is about. I am not anti-crypto. I can't say this enough. I'm trying to help you make money as a trader, as well as keep your money from disappearing. There are countless crypto platforms where they have like 4 shell companies, like they're 4 deep. So the original website will say, oh, we're located in the Netherlands. And then if you dig a little deeper, then it'll say, well, that actually is part of another shell corporation, which is in the Turks and Caicos. And that shell corporation associated with the original crypto platform is also has a shell corporation in Russia. So there's no way, if they closed up tomorrow, these types of crypto platforms, there's no way you'd get your money back. It's gone. It's history. And, you know, the reason that you can make a lot of money on cryptos is because a lot of crypto platforms are investing in high-risk investments themselves offshore. So they may be making money with their investments, but if their investments that they're using your money to invest with go south, well, hello, you know, who do you think's going to make up for that? You. Okay? These CEOs on any of these platforms, they're not going to lose anything. And I'm going to give you a good example again of FTX, all right? So you got Sam, what's his name? Bankman-Fried, okay? And he got 25 years. Now, there's an article in the New York Post today. He's already, gearing up to say that he had bad counsel or he didn't get good defense and all this kind of stuff. And why is that? Because, two of his CEOs, two other CEOs, they didn't do any jail time because they ratted on him. Now, another CEO that worked with him, Ryan, I think it's Salome, he got 7 years originally. He's already down to five. He's already plea dealed down to five. So that's nothing. And his girlfriend, Carolyn Ellison, she got 2 years, but I think she's already out, or she's going to be out this year. She didn't serve anywhere near the 2 years. So my point being is, they have nothing to lose by stealing your money. And on top of that, as I've said, it is a fact that this Sam Bankman-Fried, he's got, I think it is $8 billion offshore that no one can touch. No one can touch. So what does he care? He's going to get out on good behavior, or he'll make a plea deal, or he'll, right now he's claiming that the judge was incompetent, whatever. So my point being is, they are not necessarily all honorable. So please do your research. Please find out who owns the companies, the platforms, who's behind it, get names. And if you cannot find the information that you want before opening an account, there's your answer right there. There's no way I would ever open an account with any trading platform, crypto or otherwise, if I couldn't see everything I needed to see to manage my account before I even opened the account. And again, this is just money management, guys. I don't want you to lose your money. I want you to make money. I want you to grow your money. So please be careful. All right. And you can send me an email, or you can pick up the phone and talk to me about it, just like these traders the last couple of weeks that, it's been a tough road for them. And some of these guys are, you know, well into the six figures, and there's no way to withdraw their money. So and there's nothing that can be done legally. So please, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. So think about that, and we'll be back after a break. Okay. So hopefully you guys will take heed to what I'm saying. And again, if you have questions, let me know. Now, I've mentioned this before as well, and there's one of the best prosperity teachers on the planet. I know she's not teaching anymore because she's very, very elderly. Her name is Catherine Ponder. She's a Unity minister, and she has written a number of books. I think one of her best one is The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. And as I've said before, I've had the pleasure to work with her and interview her. And, she's just a great lady. And she started way back when, in the 60s. So when you do get a copy of her books, just remember that the dollar amounts are from that era, but the message is timeless. Okay. So, you know, there's a lot of people that talk about tithing, and I don't necessarily know as I've ever really tithed per se in terms of, let's say, a true Christian fundamental type, perspective. I basically give whatever amount when I go to church that I kind of feel in the mood to give that day. And that I just always leave it up to God. Like whatever, I'll say, okay, I got my checkbook here. What should I give today? And he'll tell me, or a number will pop into my head. So I take that's divine guidance. Okay? So I don't let someone else determine what I'm going to tithe. Now, at my church, they're doing some remodeling because, you know, the church is about 50 years old, so it needs it. And one of the things they're doing is in the courtyard, they decided to do pavers, and you could buy a paver and, you know, dedicate it to someone or something, or, you know, with an inspirational message, whatever. And it was a couple $100. And so I was moved to do that. I thought, well, that, you know, that's a good thing, because everybody walking through the courtyard can stop and read what someone's inspirational message is, or even if it's just dedicated to a family or a family member or a pet, whatever. So I did that. That is a form of tithing to me. Okay. So if we want to talk about having permanent prosperity, we definitely have to have a warrior mindset, meaning we need to go to battle to grow our money. Now, if we want to get a little mystical here, which Mark Douglas was very good at, by the way, and we'll get into that on another show. But if, let's just say, if you use the number 10 as your magic number of money increase, like that's your magic number to increase your money or your equity. And all traders have magic numbers. We all know this. And anybody out there who doesn't have any magic numbers, you need to get a hold of me, because we need to talk about that, because that's probably why your equity isn't growing. This is a real universal law. This is a factual law of the universe, because the word 10 means tithe. Okay, so from primitive times, from, you know, whenever people just started talking or writing or whatever, people from all civilizations across the planet knew that tithing is a universal law of prosperity. So a good example of this is, you know, I'm Irish, so, you know, I know a little bit about, you know, the ancient Gaels. And when it was wintertime, they would go out to the trees who, you know, had lost their leaves, and they would, the women and the men would make little offerings out of fabric, or, you know, a piece of meat or something. And they would hang them on the branches of the trees, praying to the trees to come back to life. And of course, in the spring, the trees came back. And so they were like, hey, you know, God heard us. This is where the actual specific action of having a Christmas tree came from. It's from ancient peoples who knew that there was a God, and they tithed to that God in their own way to bring them prosperity. And back then, prosperity meant, you know, good crops, you know, herds of animals, you know, whatever they needed to, you know, rain, all that kind of stuff. Now, for those of you that are thinking I'm being blasphemous about Christmas trees, I'm not, because the Christmas tree today definitely symbolizes birth. Okay? It symbolizes the birth of Christ, but it's also universal law. We, you know, for those people who believe in Jesus and believe in Christmas, they will decorate a tree in honor of his birth. So it's no different than honoring rebirth from our ancient ancestors by decorating a bare tree during the wintertime, praying to God to bring it back to life. They eventually learned about the seasons, but they continued to do it. So this is twofold, guys. This is, tithing isn't just writing a check to your church today. Tithing goes back to the very cells, our innermost souls from ancient times, that we have learned and known, and it's a part of our psyche that we know we need to tithe. Now, if you want to give half of your income or a third of your income or whatever percentage of your income to your church or pastor or rabbi or imam, it doesn't, that's your choice, because that is, again, you have free will to give someone else or something else what you have earned, a percentage of what you've earned. And that makes you feel good. And when you feel good, what does that do? That makes you feel prosperous. And when you feel prosperous, what happens then? You grow your money, right? So it doesn't matter how you tithe or if you tithe at all to anyone or anything, because you can take that concept of tithing and apply it to yourself. Now, before you think I'm telling you to be, you know, conceited or, you know, narcissistic, that's not what I'm saying. Let's look at it this way, guys. What do you think taking profit is? That's growing your money, right? You take profit because you're growing your trading account. So in essence, you've done all your work to make money for yourself. You are tithing to yourself initially. And that tithing to yourself, meaning taking profit as it makes itself available to you, then in turn allows you to have a lifestyle and give back to whoever or whatever organizations you choose to do, because you have free will and you can do with your money what you want to. Correct? So me talking about tithing or investing in yourself, it's the same concept. It's part of who we are, down to the smallest molecules of our very physical being. So that's why when you don't make money as a trader, you feel betrayed, because you're betraying yourself. You're betraying your innermost soul, that you know this is what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be tithing. You're supposed to be investing in yourself first, so that you can tithe, invest elsewhere. That's what trading's all about, guys. Let's put it this way. Let's just say you kept all your trading profits and just lived your lifestyle. You're still going to be using your money for groceries, a mortgage, car payment, rent, utilities, getting your Starbucks, you know, or wherever, going out to dinner, going on vacation. So your money is in action. So you don't necessarily have to define it as you're tithing to someone or anything, but you are giving back every time you spend the money that you have made as a trader. Do you see what I'm saying here? So allow yourself to be that warrior trader and fight for every penny you can in the markets, because you deserve it, because it is ordained for you by our Heavenly Father from the moment Adam and Eve were created. That's how far back this goes, to the beginning of mankind. It is your ordained, innate right to be prosperous.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on a Higher Power.
Okay. I'm going to step off the beaten path here for a few minutes, because there's something that I think I should kind of explain to you guys about the reason that I kind of harp on people, you know, pirating our materials. There's a misconception to the general public that authors make a lot of money on their books. Especially, let's say there's a bunch of trading books. I know there's quite a few out there that are, you know, $60, $80, $100, $150. And I think a lot of even traders, meaning non-authors, think that authors get a big chunk of that price. And that is not the case. First of all, most of the publishing contracts are standard in the industry, meaning with the mainstream publishers. And I'm talking about real publishing houses like McGraw-Hill, Penguin Random House, I just lost my train of thought. It's the Wiley and Sons, that kind of thing. Okay, so not the subsidiary publishers where you have to pay them to publish it, and not Amazon. Now, Amazon's a good publisher because I've been using them for, about 15 years now. They're really excellent. I've never had any problems with royalties or inventory or any type of statements. But let's get back to the point I'm getting at. So let's just say we have a trading book that costs $100. First of all, the publisher is going, let's say it's on Amazon. The publisher is going to sell that book to Amazon for at least 50% off of the retail price. So Amazon's going to be able to buy that book for, let's just, for the purpose of this example, for $50. Now, so the publisher makes $50, but the publisher is also printing the book, distributing it, shipping it. You know, there's a lot of overhead that the publisher has to incur. So in each publishing contract with each author, it's generally accepted that you have to sell, let's just say, 10 or 20,000 copies. And in the beginning, so let's just say the first 20,000 copies, you might only get 15% of that net price. So that's 15% off of, you know, $50. That's not a lot of money, right? So, and then after 20%, or after you sell 20,000 copies, you might go up to 20%. So, you know, the point is, all right, so let's just say, all right, $50, times 20%. All right, so the publisher sells it to Amazon for $50, and after your first 20,000 copies are sold, now you get a 20% royalty on each book. And this is before taxes, guys. So for a book that cost $100 that you bought for $100, the author gets $10. These are facts, guys. Okay? I'm an author with Penguin Random House. That's the contract. And that's going to be like that the rest of my life. I'm going to get 10 bucks on a book if it costs $100. Now, our books don't cost $100. All right? So trading in the zone is $60. Okay, so if Amazon sold it at $60, I would get $12 a book. But they're not selling it for $60. They're selling it for $35. Okay, so what's $35 times 20%? $7. All right, so I have not become a multimillionaire, even though our book has sold all across the world and is translated into 15 languages. So please, you know, take that into consideration when you start downloading not only our books, my books, but anybody's books. Because there seems to be some sort of misconception or some sort of attitude, you know, by a lot of traders that, they've made buku bucks on their books, so, you know, me downloading a copy isn't going to mean anything. Well, a couple years ago, there was a brokerage firm on Wall Street, and of course, I'm not going to mention the name, but we found out through, thank goodness, through someone who really respects us, that they were giving away our books in their private brokerage rooms to their brokerage clients. So when I went I got a link from this person who told us and logged into their account, and Trading in the Zone had been downloaded just on that one page. There was 158 pages of downloads, and just on the first page alone, there was 110,000 copies of Trading in the Zone that had been given away. So, you know, that's a lot of money that we lost to benefit traders through this brokerage firm. Of course, we contacted the brokerage firm and they, you know, took it down, but the damage is done. So my point being, guys, is why do any of you think that I don't deserve to get paid? Why do any of you that download our materials, or anybody's materials for that matter, why do you think that we don't deserve to get paid? Why are you taking money away from our families? I don't get it. I really don't. So I wanted to straighten that out because you guys need to know. It's not fair, obviously. That's why I'm still harping on it. But and just remember, okay, so let's just say I'm going to make $1 million on my book. I'd have to sell 170,000 copies. Okay? Well, we have sold a lot of copies, okay? But we've sold, I think, probably close to 500,000 copies. But that's over the course of 25 years. Okay? So, you know, that's like $7,000 a year, guys, before taxes. So please, you know, and I won't even get into the foreign editions, because the foreign editions, that's a 50-50 split off the net price of the book. Penguin gets 50%, we get 50%. So, and again, this is pre-taxed. So kind of, you know, think twice about this, all right? You can get used copies of our books on Amazon or on Abe Books or any other retailer. You don't have to pay full price. So just kind of think about that a little bit, guys, because if you don't feel you have the money to buy any materials that you think is going to help your trading, then you're already telling yourself, and I've said this before, guys, because this is the way our minds work, you're already telling yourself that you can't afford educational materials to become a better trader. And that's why you can't make money as a trader, because you have a set of conflicting beliefs. You don't believe you can afford to buy any education. So if you don't believe that you can afford it, then you're already coming from a sense of lack, or what I call TZL, trading zone of lack. So if you're already thinking lack, then you have a poverty mindset. Now that's not being a warrior, is it? A warrior doesn't go into battle thinking they're not going to win. A warrior doesn't go into battle without their armor. A warrior doesn't go into battle without a sharp sword or, you know, plenty of ammo. But when you download materials because you think you convince yourself, well, I don't have to pay for it because it's out here on the internet, what you're really saying is, I can't pay for it. And so in essence, you are not going into battle like a warrior. And that's why you get killed in the market. That's a metaphor here, guys. Now, I'm trying to help you guys understand this. Trading is a thinking man's game. You have to think about what you think. And if you don't know what you think, then you're going to make mistakes. You're not going to know who you are as a trader. And if you don't know who you are as a trader, then you can't believe in yourself and you can't follow your rules. It's just the way it works. So you have to ask yourself, why don't I want to know who I am? What is stopping me from doing the mental work that I need to do to find out what I think and why? What would stop you from finding out who you are, what you think, what you believe about money, what you believe about being a trader, what you believe about success? I mean, if you asked me at any given moment, what do you think about success? I could tell you right off the top of my head. What do I believe about money? I could tell you right off the top of my head. I wouldn't hesitate. And yet, how many of you have called me for coaching or come to one of my workshops, and I'll ask you, what do you believe about making money as a trader? And, you know, I get a blank stare, and then you hem and haw, and you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, what do you mean, what do I mean? It's a pretty clear question. What do you believe it's going to take to make you a successful trader? And most of you can't answer it. So if you can't answer a direct question like that to me, even on a one-on-one situation, and maybe not in a workshop because you don't want to share it with someone else, but, you know, even in one-on-one conversation, then you don't know what it means. And if you don't know what it means to be a success as a trader, then you shouldn't be trading. You shouldn't be trading, at least until you know. So this is the purpose of all of this stuff. You know, talking about prosperity, you know, get Catherine Ponder's book, get our books, have a coaching session, take advantage of the introductory call, have a one-on-one workshop. I've been doing this for a long time, guys, and it doesn't matter whether it's 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 1 year ago, the markets are the markets are the markets. And what I teach is empirically proven for decades. It works. And no one else that came after us is going to do it any better than those of us who created it. And I don't care what their name is. I don't care what degrees they have. No one is going to do it better than right here at the source where it all began. Okay. And for those of you also too that have criticized me to my face saying, well, how can you say you're the best of the best? Because I am. Okay. Period. That's it. I am the best of the best at what I do. Now, let's get a little esoteric here for a second. Now, everything I'm talking about is divine nature. All of these shows, everything that I teach is about divinity, meaning you are a child of God, and God wants you to be as prosperous as you choose to be. Now, nature knows about this. Nature knows all about divine timing. When Mark and I lived in Scottsdale for a couple years, there was a cactus, and I don't know, remember the name of it, but, and it wasn't, I think it was once a year maybe, but it would have a flower that would blossom once a year for like maybe a week or so, but only after midnight. go figure that. Okay. I forget the name of the cactus, but I'll look it up and I'll tell you next week. But so, you know, I would try and stay up around the week's time when the cactus was supposed to be blooming, but it didn't always bloom in the same month. So it might be July or it might be August, and it would just depend on the temperature. But I have to say, the one or two times that I did manage to snag it and be there at the right moment, it was magnificent. The flowers were as big as my hand. It was amazing. And they would last for 1 day or 2 days at the most. And the reason that I bring this up is because nature blossoms everything when the conditions are just right. Meaning when your mind is in alignment with what you believe and what your focus is on, then you grow your equity. Now, these cactus, they might wait years for the right conditions. And we don't even know what those right conditions are, even to this day, because it's not like, you know, not in a timely fashion, but they would wait for years, and then all of a sudden, poof, they would blossom briefly, but it was their glory, and it was amazing. So sometimes waiting for just the right conditions in which to blossom financially, that's what we're doing in the markets. Okay? That's all we're doing. We are waiting for the right market conditions. And that is still based on nature, because the markets are made up of what? Human beings. Now, when I say this, guys, don't argue with me and come back and say, well, there's algorithms and there's this and there's this program and all that. Okay. Let's get clear about this. Algorithms and any kind of other programming, even AI now, is still programmed by human beings who have injected their own opinions. Okay? There was an article in the paper the other day, I think it was in Japan, they created some AI intelligence, and all they coded into this AI robot was hate and anger, just nasty things. And, you know, when they started saying, they showed it those ink blot images that they, you know, that psychiatrists use, and they asked the AI robot what they thought about it. And of course, it was just all a negative response. It was all about murder and mayhem. So, and they're saying, oh, wow, you know, the AI is thinking for itself. No, the AI is programmed to think what the humans coded into it. Okay? So just like the algorithms, just like any trading programs, trading systems, they are still built by humans who have an opinion about the markets. So when the conditions are right, meaning when your mind is in the right condition to see an opportunity in the market, that goes right back to nature. That goes right back to God's creation. Your mind. He created it all. Okay? So I'm getting a little deep here. Okay? But, you know, just like it says in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. He has made everything beautiful in its time. That which is already been, that which is to be, already has been. Meaning, it's already there, guys. It's already there. You just have to connect to your higher power to grab hold of all of your profit. You have to believe this is what's ordained for you. I believe it. I know it. I've seen it. Mark Douglas believed it like there was no tomorrow. It's one of the reasons I fell in love with him. It's one of the reasons I partnered with him for all those years. His connection to God was so strong and so intense, he never once wavered from knowing that God wanted him to be prosperous. Now, I'm not going to get into the definition of prosperous here tonight. We'll do that next week, because that's a whole show in itself, because each one of us has to determine what prosperity, what being prosperous means to each one of us. But in the meantime, start thinking about this, guys. You can, you know, just look at it this way. You can say something like an affirmation: Heavenly Father, thank you for the financial standard you have set before me today. Instill in me the excellence in all that I do as a trader. You are my witness. You fill me with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. May integrity and truthfulness hold me up, because I believe in you, Lord, as you believe in me. Just something like that, right? And Heavenly Father, grant me your wisdom above all else, to be the best trader I can be. I am simple, and I keep going because I know you hear me, and you will help me make the best financial decisions as a trader each day. He's there for you guys. Listen to him. This is Paula T. signing off for another week. I hope you have a wonderful trading week. Have a wonderful week overall. You can reach me at paulatweb.com, 760-636-4290. And I wish you all the best.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.